Chapter 6, Picnic. May, Princess's mother, had been lying awake thinking about her daughter for an hour before the goat head-butted their door. She shoved her husband to awaken him as soon as Princess had left.
"Hugh, we need to talk about our daughter," she whispered by his head.
Hugh sat up and rubbed his eyes with resignation. He knew that there was no chance for any more sleep this morning.
"And what would you like to discuss about her?"
he asked with a yawn. May elbowed him and hissed,
"You know what we need to discuss. She's in love with that boy, and we need to figure out what to do."
"Oof," grunted Hugh after the elbowing. "They're in love, and they'll either get married or they won't," he replied. "That's the nature of things."
"Hugh, you aren't taking this seriously. She's in love with someone we barely know who's probably leaving in a few weeks. If she decides to marry him, we will never see her again, and she's only 13 years old. She's still a little girl. She's too young for this."
"First off, she'll be 14 tomorrow," answered Hugh. "Second, you were 15 when she was born, and third, we don't know whether he's going to leave or stay, or even if they want to marry."
"And fourth, you can't do anything about it," came a gruff voice from the back of the room. "Trust me on this, daughter," Orvin said. "You have absolutely no influence over who that girl loves or what she does about it, and the more you try to control her, the faster she'll pull away. I have some experience in the matter, as you know."
May blushed despite herself and replied, "That was a completely different situation, Father, and you know it. Hugh and I knew each other for years before we were married."
"I'll say," retorted Orvin.
"And as I recall, your mother and I forbade you from seeing him because he was too much older than you. And you know how that turned out. We learned that our 14-year-old daughter was pregnant within a month of that proclamation.
Your mother insisted that you be married on the spring moon, which was very late that year, and Princess was born barely 2 weeks later."
They heard him roll over and draw his blanket up to his neck. Hugh chuckled, caressed his wife, and said, "We've raised her well, sweetheart. She won't do anything crazy." Orvin snorted, "Two young people in love? In the spring? With the chance that they soon may be split apart and never see one another again? Sure, go ahead and put your money on rational thinking."
"Dad, you're not helping," shouted May
as she threw a handful of straw in his direction and got out of bed. "It's late and you should both be ashamed of yourselves." She slammed the door as she left.
"Thanks, Orvin," grumbled Hugh. "I was always a much better soldier than a father," admitted Orvin. "But I stand by what I said."
"I know, Orvin," answered Hugh. "But even though I agree with you, this wasn't helpful."
"Sorry, son," answered Orvin as he slowly eased himself off the floor, but Hugh could tell that he was grinning.
The two men had just returned from the latrines when Sin rushed over to them.
"Whose bed have I been sleeping in?" he asked in a panic.
"I don't know," answered Hugh, still groggy from his harsh awakening, "but it had better not have been my daughter's."
"Ha ha!" Sin snapped.
"I'm the only person in this village sleeping in a raised bed. Whose is it, and why am I using it?"
"Oh, well, that is Princess's bed. She had it brought over to Tate's place when you arrived, thinking it would make it easier to care for you," answered Hugh. Then he chuckled and noted,
"So I guess you have been sleeping in my daughter's bed." Orvin slapped him on the back and laughed as well.
"Well, we have to bring it back," Sin replied in a panic. "You have to help me move it right now."
"I'm sure this can wait until after breakfast," Hugh replied as he stretched his back, which was still stiff in the morning chill. "She won't be needing it until tonight, but why the sudden panic?" Sin stared at him as though he was a complete idiot.
"Because I just found out the princess has slept on the ground while I've been using her bed. This is unacceptable." "Okay, Sin, okay," Hugh chuckled. "Orvin and I will help you return Princess's bed after breakfast. Was there anything else?"
Sin looked relieved, but still anxious. "Actually, there is. Tomorrow is her birthday, and I was wondering if I could take her on a picnic lunch.
I have a surprise planned for her.
Don't get her pregnant, Sin, Hugh said earnestly. Just don't.
Sin looked as shocked as if he had been physically slapped.
That's not the kind of surprise I meant. I can't believe you said that. I made something special for her and want to show her.
Hugh laughed and said, Good thing. I don't want to have to kill you. Tate would be so disappointed after all her hard work healing you.
Sin's eyes grew wide with fear until he realized Hugh was joking.
You wouldn't kill me, would you? He asked with trepidation.
Orvin put his arm around him and started guiding him to breakfast.
No, he wouldn't, but I would. Did I ever tell you how I wanted to kill you instead of bringing you into the village? True story.
Hugh chuckled as he watched the two of them walk off towards the lodge for breakfast. Sin seemed to straighten and tense a little more with every word of Orvin's tale.
Thanks, Orvin, he muttered under his breath.
The next day, Sin excitedly took Princess by the hand and led her to his secret picnic ground. Princess raced after him as he led her to the far end of the valley. Then, without warning, he stepped onto a rock in the stream and followed it into the forest.
Sin, no, called Princess. We aren't supposed to go into the forest.
It's all right, Sin assured her. We're just going a little way in. There's a small meadow just ahead. Trust me, you'll love it. Princess was unsure, but followed Sin as he stepped across the stones in the small stream. Sin clambered up the bank after 50 paces and reached down for Princess's hand.
We're almost there, he said.
Princess grasped his hand, and he pulled her up the bank. She noticed for the first time how strong he had become. He seemed to have fully recovered from his injuries. They raced down a narrow animal trail before she had time to reflect on this, however, and then they stepped into a beautiful clearing. An ancient tree had fallen many years ago, and its demise and subsequent tumble down the hill had cleared a narrow opening in the dense forest, which was carpeted with bluebells. The pendulous blue flowers cascaded across the ground. Sin had cleared a path and placed a small blanket in the very center. She followed him to the picnic site and felt as though she was floating in a shimmering blue pond of flowers, surrounded by tall, majestic trees when she sat down. It was midday, and the sun shining down through the gap in the leaves onto the bluebells made them almost glow against the dim shadows of the surrounding forest. In another hour, the sun would pass the narrow gap, returning the meadow of flowers to its usual twilight. But for now, it had an almost magical radiance. Sin had brought bread, butter, and the first fresh strawberries of the year. It was the perfect birthday gift, and almost without thinking, she leaned forward and kissed him. It was their very first kiss, and while it felt wonderful, Princess suddenly felt awkward and pulled back. I shouldn't have done that, she said with more than a little panic in her voice.
Me neither, answered Sin with at least as much fear in his voice, which somewhat surprised Princess. I mean, I liked it. It was great. You're great. I wanted to, but we really shouldn't have. I mean, that wasn't why I brought you here.
Why, Sin, I believe you are blushing, chided Princess with a sly grin. She quickly added, I liked it too, but let's stick to talking and eating for now. They talked and fed each other strawberries until the shadows reached halfway across the meadow. Princess was laying on her back, and Sin was gently tracing her hairline and brushing stray curls off her forehead when the coolness of the forest shadow made him shiver. Sin jumped up as he felt the shadow touch his face and exclaimed, I almost forgot to show you your birthday present. Princess, who thought the picnic was his gift to her, and couldn't think of any present which could be better than his gentle stroking, was perplexed. And where is this present, dear Sin? She asked.
Over here, he called as he waved her over to the massive fallen trunk.
Princess saw that he had carved the words, Mea amor aeternus lucet sicut stella, into the side of the fallen tree. She put her hand to her mouth and then leaped onto him, throwing her arms around him.
It's wonderful, she whispered in his ear.
It's called writing, he began, but she interrupted him with a giggle.
Of course it is, silly. Mea amor ardet sunt quasi ignis, she replied.
Wait, what did you say? He asked in amazement.
I said, Mea amor ardet sunt quasi ignis,
she replied with a smile. Something about love and fire? He asked.
Yes. You wrote, my eternal love shines like a star, and I replied that my love burns like fire, she said.
Sin's skin burned bright red when she translated her message, but then amazement washed over his face.
You can read, and you understand Latin? He cried.
Of course, she answered, and then she poked him and added, and it seems that I speak it better than you.
That's incredible, he continued. Almost no one I know can read or write, and I've never met a woman who could do so.
Well, that's odd, Princess replied. Just about every man and woman in our village can read and write, and why would women have more trouble doing it than men?
Well, I don't know, admitted Sin. It just isn't taught to them.
Why not? Asked Princess. What kind of backward land do you come from?
Well, Sin stuttered. It just isn't done, and you speak Latin, he quickly added, hoping to change the subject.
Sure, we're all fluent in Saxon, Latin, and Briton, Princess replied. Aren't you?
Well, no, admitted Sin rather sheepishly. Latin is only taught to the elite, and while I can manage some simple phrases, I am certainly not fluent.
Oh, so you are part of the elite in your home, Princess tested.
I didn't mean it that way, Sin hurriedly replied. I just mean that Latin is not taught to most people. In fact, most people don't even speak Saxon as well as you.
I don't get it. You are the most highly educated people I've ever met, and yet you hide out here in the wilderness. What do you do with all this education?
What do you mean? Asked Princess with genuine puzzlement.
I mean, what do you want to do with your life? What are the dreams and aspirations of someone who lives in an isolated village in the middle of nowhere?
Princess paused to consider this question. She had never thought of what she wanted to do with her life.
She rarely had any time for thoughts like those. Life was harsh here, and the villagers seldom had picnics or philosophical conversations or much of any sort of relaxation except during meals or festivals for the gods. Her long-term goals were generally constrained to worrying about getting her chores done or whether there would be anything to eat tomorrow. The farthest anyone she knew ever planned into the future was to the next spring. Would there be enough food to last the winter? How many graves needed to be dug before the ground froze? And would there be enough seed left to plant the spring crops?
I guess I've never really thought about it, admitted Princess. I suppose I expect to get married and have some babies, but we pretty much focus on short-term survival.
That seems like such a waste of life, exclaimed Sin. Why do you lock yourselves away merely to survive and never dream? Why? What deep and dark secret traps you as prisoners here?
Sin, you know we don't like to talk about that. Please don't ask, warned Princess.
But Princess, I love you, and I want to spend my life with you, but how can I truly trust someone who insists on keeping such a massive secret from me?
I love you too, Sin, but what does our reason for hiding here matter to you when you're going to leave our valley in a few weeks, and I'll never see you again? Princess cried as she began to feel tears well inside her.
Again, I don't get it, answered Sin as his voice began to rise. Why must you hide here, and why can't you leave with me? I just don't understand.
Because I can't, Princess shouted in frustration. If I leave, I will never see my family again.
Bring them with you, offered Sin, or come back to visit. Why can't you do that?
We just can't, repeated Princess.
But why not? How can you truly love me when you don't even trust me? Sin complained. What kind of deep secret could frighten all of you so much that you'll willingly choose to waste your lives hiding in the forest?
Because if the dragon discovers that any of us are alive, he will kill us all, sobbed Princess.
You just don't understand the terrible threat we always have to live under.
Dragon? Asked Sin.
You are the brightest, most educated people I've ever met, and you believe in dragons?
Stop it, Sin. You think you're so smart, coming from your girt city, but you know nothing about the wilderness. Dragons do exist. I've seen them with my own eyes. I've watched one kill every single person I knew, except for the few of us who escaped to this valley. I've walked through the smoldering remains he left of my home. Don't try to tell me they don't exist, and don't try to assure me that this one will forget about his threat to eradicate my people. You know nothing. Sin was shocked at her outburst. He had considered dozens of possibilities for the secrets they were hiding, but dragons never entered his mind. Up until now, he believed monsters like that were just fairy tales. But suddenly he wasn't so sure. He wanted to say something, anything, but he didn't know how to begin. Princess stood up and turned to him before she left to say, "I hate you. I made a promise never to tell anyone about the dragon, and now you know. Our secret keeps us alive, and now I just signed the death warrant for my family and all of my friends." Sin said, "I promise I won't tell anyone." But Princess interrupted him, "Just like I promised my father and grandfather never to tell you. It's a promise you'll never be able to keep, Sin. Grandfather was right. We should have left you to die on the road." Princess burst into tears again and raced out of the clearing, leaving Sin confused and sitting on a blanket in a field of bluebells, which now appeared gray and drooping in the foreboding gloom of the forest shade. His date couldn't have gone worse.